Jaya Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Vajjana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vajjana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Ranachari. Yamuna Tira Ranachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Vajjana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vajjana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Ranachari. Yamuna Tira Ranachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mirandasya Janaganasalakayam Chakrus Militam Jainatasmai Shi Gurve Namaha Shi Chaitanya Manavistam Shapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayam Upakara Maya Dadati Swaparantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhuni Chananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Hare. We want to hear about Srila Prabhupada, but we want to hear about the Pandavas too, which Srila Prabhupada has written about. Here he's describing how they're leaving their body. Text 32, right? Nishamya Bhagavan Margam Nishamyam Bhagavan Margam Stastam Yadu Kulasyacha Samstam Yadu Kulasyacha Swapartaya Matim Chakre Swapartaya Matim Chakre Nibritatma Yudhisthiraha Nibritatam Yudhisthiraha. Bolo. Yam Bhagavan Chayam Yudhakasya Chayam Matim Chakre Yudhisasam Yudhisthira Nishamya Bhagavan Margam Samstam Yadu Kalasya Cha Svapataya Matim Chakre Nivrata. I asked you to do that. It was okay. Matajis. Nishamaya Bhagavan Marta Samstamtam Yare Sacha Satatayam Rishate Nivadatma Nirishisham Nishamaya. Deliberating. Bhagavat regarding the Lord. Margam, the ways of his appearance and disappearance. Samstam, end. Yadu Kulasya, of the dynasty of King Yadu. Cha, also. Swaha, the abode of the Lord. Pataya, on the way of. Matim, desire. Chakre, gave attention. Nibrita Atma, lonely and alone. Yudhisthiraha, King Yudhisthira. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, as He Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Upon hearing of Lord Krishna's returning to his abode and upon understanding the end of the Yadu dynasty's earthly manifestation, Maharaj decided to go back home, back to Godhead. So, one interesting word here is the lonely and alone. So, we come into the world alone and we leave the world alone. This is the because we're individuals. It's not a collective thing. So we have to qualify ourselves individually also. We're individuals. We want to go back to the spiritual world. We can get guidance, but we have to do it on our own. We have to desire to go back to Godhead. Nobody can desire for us. We are individuals and we have individual desire. So desire has brought us here individually, and it can bring us back individually. Not like a mass fall down that takes place. And not like the Bible seems to indicate that because Adam ate the apple, therefore all humanity, all mankind is condemned. No, that's the wrong idea. Why should I have to suffer because Adam did something that was wrong? That's his business. So my business is, I turned away from God. That was my mistake. Each one, individually. And we can individually turn back to God, if we so desire. Nobody can interfere with our desire. Just like Prahlad, he was desiring to please the Lord. Every attempt was made to stop his desire, but it couldn't be done. Purport. Maharaj Yudhisthira also turned his attention to the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita after hearing about Lord Krishna's departure from the vision of the earthly people. He began to deliberate on the Lord's way of appearance and departure, the mission of the Lord's appearance and disappearance in the mortal universe is completely dependent on His supreme will. He is not forced to appear or disappear by any superior energy. And the living entity appears and disappears, as the living entity appears and disappears, being forced by the laws of nature. So again, Krishna has His will, and we have our will. This is personal philosophy. The Mayavadis seem to think that there's no will. We merge into nothingness or everything, and then what? We lose our individuality. But for the Vaishnava, that's hellish. We have an individuality, and we want to use that in a proper way. We don't give up ego. We give up false ego. We maintain our ego, our identity, as a servant of Krishna. That's an identity. We don't become zero or one with everything. We remain as individuals. So it's a very encouraging philosophy. The Vaishnava wouldn't accept the merging. It's like a spiritual suicide. You lose your identity. Who wants to lose their identity? We want to purify our identity, and then in that pure state, we can enter into the spiritual world. Here, Prabhupada is quoting chapter 4, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tatvataha. If we understand in truth, Tatvataha, the Lord's birth and activities, then we don't come back to this place. Therefore, we should try to be Krishna conscious at every moment. This is the goal that Prabhupada gave us. Krishna is not forced to appear or disappear. We read that. Whenever the Lord likes, He can appear Himself from anywhere. and everywhere without disturbing his appearance and disappearance in any other place. He is like the sun. The sun appears and disappears on its own according to any place without disturbing its presence in another place. The sun appears in the morning in India without disappearing from the Western Hemisphere. The sun is present everywhere and everywhere all over the solar system, but it appears that it is a particular place that the sun appears in the morning and also disappears in some fixed time in the evening. The time limitation, even of the sun, is of no concern. And so, what to speak of the Supreme Lord, who is the creator and controller of the sun? Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that anyone who factually understands the transcendental appearance and disappearance of the Lord, it, by the inconceivable energy, becomes liberated from the laws of both death, birth and death, and is placed in the spiritual sky where the Vaikuntha planets are. There, such liberated persons can eternally live without the pangs of birth, death, old age, and disease. In the spiritual sky, the Lord and those who are eternally engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord are all naturally young, because there is no old age and disease, and there is no death. Because there is no death, there is no birth. It is concluded, therefore, that simply by understanding the Lord's appearance and disappearance in truth, one can attain the perfectional stage of eternal life. Therefore, Maharaj Yudhisthira also began to consider going back to Godhead. The Lord appeared on the earth or any other mortal plane, planet, along with his associates who live with him eternally, and the members of the Arda dynasty who are engaged in the supplementing the pastimes of the Lord are no other than his eternal associates. And so also Maharaj Yudhisthira and his brothers and mother, etc. Since the appearance and disappearance of the Lord and the eternal associates are transcendental, one should not be bewildered by the eternal features of appearance, the external features of appearance and disappearance. Let's do one more. Partapya, can't see too well here. Partati anushutya danajanai datitam nasham yudanam bhagavan gatim chatam ekanta bhaktya bhagavati adhoksaje navishetat paratmana samshite. Translation. Kunti, after overhearing Arjuna's telling of the end of the Yadu dynasty and disappearance of Lord Sri Krishna, engaged in the devotional service of the transcendental personality of Godhead with full attention and thus gain release from the course of material existence. So this is open to everyone. Women can also, in this very lifetime, qualify to enter the spiritual world. But they have to take up the same process that Kunti took up. Here it's nicely described. Ekanta means one-pointed. Ekanta bhaktya bhagavati adhoksaja. A one-pointed devotion to the Lord who is adhoksaja. Or what does that mean? Transcendental? Adhoksaja. Yes, transcendental. So this is the goal. One-pointed, uninterrupted, undeviating, unalloyed. Prabhupada uses different words. We have to come to that point of unalloyed devotion to the transcendental Lord. So anybody can do it. Even animals like Vatayu or Hanuman. Children like Juva and Prahlad. So we can become perfect. Only obstacle, what is that? Prabhupada was asked that. What is the biggest obstacle in our path of devotion? Prabhupada said, you are. You are yourself. Your own mind is the obstacle. Otherwise, from the superior side, nobody's checking you. They're happy to have you come back. They're happy to guide you. But we don't want to take guidance. We have our own agenda. We have our own plan. We're going to get ahead in this world. And we're going to be happy. But there's no happiness. Certified. Dukkalayam. Place of suffering. But we think we're different. We're going to be happy because we have Modi as our prime minister. Yeah? No, isn't it? Right? 90% of the Hindus think, yes, now we're happy. But that kind of happiness is running through your fingers. How long is Modi going to remain? And then the next person. And even Modi, it doesn't mean he's a pure devotee. We want a pure devotee as a leader. Srila Prabhupada. We should follow him. Perfectly follow him. Then we're assured of going back to Godhead. But the tendency is to pick up some worldly person. I mean, this desire to worship some hero is there in everyone. Because ultimately, the real hero is Krishna. Everybody has a hero, especially children. I remember when I was a child, I had the baseball player was my hero. What do you have? Cricket players here, right? You make them as a hero. And then I had our president, JFK. I was a young man, and he was the president. I said, wow, this guy is so nice, handsome, intelligent, everything. But then I came to find out he was a woman hunter, you know, after everything comes out. His character wasn't good. So we lose our heroes. But Prabhupada did no chance. He's pure devotee from beginning to end. I was a little cynical when I first came. I saw the devotees had a picture of Prabhupada and they were worshiping it. And I was thinking, boy, my mother told me never to worship a human being. Why did I worship? Can we get this? Thank you. So I was questioning, why are we worshiping this human being? And it took me about a year and a half, really, to understand, to be completely convinced that Prabhupada was worshipable. I couldn't accept it immediately. I could accept, okay, God we should worship, but why do we worship a human being? Because we didn't find anybody. You know, in the Christian church, they say Christ is God. So, okay, we can worship Christ because he's God. Of course, that's not true. He's the Son of God. There's a difference. Prabhupada used to say about Lord Jesus that he's the obedient Son of God, but the rest of us are disobedient. So this is the goal. We want to become obedient to God. Then we can come to the same level as Christ. But the Christians couldn't do that, so they made him God. That tendency can come to us also. In the Hindus, a lot of them, they think their guru is God. And even in ISKCON, I was there, 1970. Leading disciples started to claim, the sannyasis, that Prabhupada was God. Right from the Vyasas on, they were claiming, 1970, New Vrindavan. And I questioned. I was in the audience. I said, what about that blue boy? Right? Prabhupada wasn't blue. And they said, how do you know about him? I said, from Prabhupada. They said, see? So they just pushed me aside. They were maintaining Prabhupada is God. But when Prabhupada heard about that, he threw them out of his society. He told them to travel and preach and become purified of this wrong conception. The spiritual master is not God. He's Shakshadari. He's as good as God because he's representing God. But he never claims to be God. And his disciples shouldn't think that he's God also. They should think he's an empowered living entity who's doing the work of God, fully devoted to God. And therefore, Krishna will be pleased if we please him. This is the philosophy. Achinta Beta Beta Tattva. He's one with God and also different. But Krishna is Bhakti Vatsala, so it's true. If we please Prabhupada, then Krishna will be more readily attracted to us. And what does Krishna say at the end of the Bhagavad Gita? One who explains this subject to innocent people, he's most dear to me. So that was Prabhupada's mission. He was always explaining. I'll tell you, like one time, I came into Prabhupada's room in Mayapur, and I had an assistant with me. And Prabhupada was reading his own book, Krishna book. So I turned to my assistant and I said, See, Prabhupada is reading Krishna book. And no sleeping. Who's sleeping here? And Prabhupada, what did Prabhupada say at that time to me? He said, yes, always preach. You follow? Prabhupada heard me preaching to my assistant that Prabhupada is reading a Krishna book. Prabhupada, so fast, he picked up on that and complimented me. Yes, always preach. So he was always preaching, and that means cutting or complimenting. If you're doing something right, he was encouraging us. If you did something wrong, he would smash. That was his mercy. So I did something right. I was preaching. And Prabhupada noted it and said, yes, always preach. And that was Prabhupada. He was sharp. He was very fast in his thinking. And he could read your mind most of the time. You know, when you came, some of my god brothers, they were afraid to come in front of Prabhupada. Because one devotee told me, he said, when I go in front of Prabhupada, I feel like a pineapple. And all the things coming up, and Prabhupada will see all my inadequacies, and I'm embarrassed to be in front of Prabhupada. I mean, that was my qualification. I wasn't embarrassed. But then I got smashed. I could tell you some of the stories. You want to hear stories about Prabhupada? How he smashed me. Like once in London, Prabhupada had a nice vase with flowers, and I came in and I stuck my face right into the flowers, like on Prabhupada's desk, and he looked at me like, who is this aborigine coming into my room and putting his face in my flowers? And I could see Prabhupada reacted like that. So he was very shy in his own way. He didn't advertise himself. I mean, for preaching, sometimes he had to, but in general, on ordinary course of the, like he was standing in line and the lady thought that he had got ahead of us. Our prophet was very shy. He backed up. Oh, no, please, you go. He wasn't pushy or self-assertive on his own account. For Krishna, he was pushy. Well, that's different. We should be bold in our preaching. Prabhupada gave the example that the ladies asked sometimes, because in Los Angeles, the ladies were going out, I guess here also, and selling books. And so they had a question. Well, Prabhupada, you say the ladies should be shy, but when we sell the books, we have to be bold. So how can we adjust this? We're supposed to be shy. Sometimes Prabhupada says the beauty of a woman is her shyness. We have to be shy. But how can we sell a book if we're so too shy? So Prabhupada answered by saying, yes. You have to be like a lion on the hunt and a lamb at home. So when you're hunting means selling the books, then you have to be bold. But when you come back, then you should be very humble. So this is our philosophy. Again, Prabhupada, did we read this purport? Let me finish this first one. I don't think we did we? Queen Kunti? No. The setting of the sun does not mean the end of the sun. It means that the sun is out of our sight. Similarly, the end of the mission of the Lord on a particular planet or universe only means he is out of our sight. The end of the Yadu dynasty also does not mean that it is annihilated. It disappears along with the Lord out of our sight. As Maharaj Yudhisthira decided to prepare to go back to Godhead, so also Kunti decided. Thus, she fully engaged herself in the transcendental devotional service of the Lord, which guarantees one a passport for going back to Godhead after quitting our present body. The beginning of devotional service to the Lord is the beginning of spiritualizing the present body, and thus an unalloyed devotee of the Lord loses all material contact in the present body. The abode of the Lord is not a myth, as is thought by the unbelievers or ignorant people. But one cannot reach there by any material means, like a Sputnik or space capsule. But one can certainly reach there after leaving the present body, and one must prepare himself to go back to Godhead by practicing devotional service. That guarantees a passport We're going back to Godhead, and Kunti adopted it. Queen Kunti Ki. All right, so again, Prabhupada was showing when he left his body that this was his mood also. Like in Prabhupada's room in Vrindavan, I was there when Prabhupada was in his last days, and we had kirtan going 24 hours. We had small cartels, and we were in the back of the room, and we would run. We would chant in shifts, so 24 hours. Even when he was sleeping, we had a soft kirtan going. The only time we stopped the kirtan, when he spoke something. Then the kirtan would stop, and Prabhupada would speak something to his servant, or speak something to us, all of us, according to his desire. He could speak. He was very lucid, you can say. Like if we sang it, or we were sometimes introducing the kirtan by reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. But he was very aware of what we were doing. And sometimes he was correcting us, sometimes chastising us. The one leading devotee, well, what happened was Prabhupada said, why more devotees are not here? And then the answer was, Prabhupada, well, many of them went back to their preaching field because they want to keep the, you know, book distribution going and so on. So Prabhupada wasn't so happy with that. He wanted more devotees to be with him in those last days. He called us all in and he was asking, why you're not here? And one devotee said, well, I had to go to Calcutta, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, that's okay, but even when you're here, means in Vrindavan, you're not here in my room. He wanted us to come regularly into his room. And so I was fortunate because I was assigned to chant, so I was there regularly in Prabhupada's room. And he did, he encouraged me sometimes, and I'll tell you one story near the very end. I got sick, like I have a little sickness now. I mean, this was worse. So I thought I shouldn't go in Prabhupada's room in this condition. And so I didn't go for a few days. And then when I came back, Prabhupada recognized my voice and he said, oh, you are here. And then he started speaking like from the Mahabhagavat platform. He said, I'm simply a disturbance to you young boys that you have to stay here with me. So it made me feel like crying, you know, that Prabhupada was taking that kind of position, that he was a trouble for us. And I remember thinking, you know, where else would I go? How can I? I wouldn't think of leaving. My spiritual master is in this condition. How can I leave? So then after speaking like that for a while, Prabhupada called. He said, call all the other devotees. So I went and called the secretary, Tamal and others, Bhakti Tru Maharaj, and Bhavananda was there, and many devotees who were there, they came, we came and filled up Prabhupada's room. Then he started speaking again. I'm simply a botheration, so I want to leave this room. I don't want to stay here. I want to go out. And so they organized, Lokanath Swami and I, he asked me, Lokanath Swami asked me to go with him to bring the bullock's cart from Mathura for Prabhupada. And we did that, but he never used it. The reason he didn't use it, I was there when that happened, because Prabhupada had one god brother who was very close with Krishnadas Babaji. So he was in Prabhupada's room. And I was there. He was sitting on Prabhupada's bed. I don't know if you know Krishna, but he's a very light kind of a person, and he's a shorter person. And so Prabhupada called. He was sitting there with him, and then Bhakti Chiru and Bhavananda came into Prabhupada's room, and they were distraught somewhat. And they said, "What?" Prabhupada said, "What is it?" And Bhakti Chiru Maharaj said, "Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Maharaj is very upset that you're going on the bullock's cart. He thinks it is very dangerous, and the Kaviraj also thinks it's not a good idea
you go out on a bus car, it'll be difficult, you'll be bouncing and so on. But Prabhupada was giving arguments, no, we'll have a mattress and it won't, it's not a problem. But at this time, then Prabhupada was influenced. He said, no, I didn't want that this should happen. Tamar was very close to Prabhupada, that's a fact. So he said, I didn't want this to happen. So then he turned to Babaji, who was sitting with him. He said, see how much they love me. So he was accepting being guided by his disciples. There's sometimes there's a, you know, a hypothesis that Tamal forced Prabhupada not to go. It's not like that. Prabhupada didn't go on Bullock's cart because he didn't want to go. Nobody forced Prabhupada. He did what he wanted to do. And Tamal also got chastised by him. In my presence, Prabhupada chastised him. So it was no idea that there was a clique of disciples who were controlling Prabhupada. It wasn't true. Prabhupada was very much his own, his, you know, his own man. He was his servant of his spiritual master, that's all, not of us. And he decided to go or not to go. That was his choice. So he decided not to go. And then, a few days later, he did leave his body. But he was never forced by anybody. Okay, any more? That's the last remembrance I have of Prabhupada. Otherwise, you want to read more? You can read my book. I just finished the book. About all my exchange with Prabhupada. I don't want to tell too many of them because then you might not buy the book. So next time I come, I'll have some copies of my book. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Sri Prabhupada ki. Unless there's a question.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, thank you very much for sharing your time with us and realizations and reflections on the Bhagavatam. In the times that you had joined, like 1971, you took sannyas. Since then, you know, very steadily going on in spite of all the ups and downs that ISKCON has faced, devotees have faced. So what is that, you know, essential principle that you have stuck to keep continuing to serve and, you know, the spiritual master?
How long you been serving?
Joined in 2006, Maharaj. 2006.
Six?
Yeah.
So what is your
16
secret?
16 years.
What is your secret? How are you managed to go on 16 years? Once you can go 16 years, then you can go 60 years. It's the same thing. You get a higher taste, and then this becomes your family. You don't think, how I can give it up. It doesn't come into your head that you could give up your connection with your guru and Krishna. So it's not so difficult. Once you get a higher taste, where else will I go to find a kirtan? Kirtan gives us life. Kirtan is so inspiring. Who would I should go to? TM people or something? And do some meditation? Silent meditation? No. That's okay. Next question. Okay, we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Ekadasi Vrat ki.